Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome not just a very, very dear friend, but a very senior and respected professional from the world of financial services, a fellow member of the YPO from Florida, USA, Mr. Sandeep Tyagi. Sandeep, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Always great to speak with you.
Thank you. Sandeep is the chairman and chief executive officer of ST Capital. He's the founder of Gulluck. And as I mentioned, he's a member of the YPO. So Sandeep, before we start talking about Gulluck, let's talk about your own amazing journey. I mean, you know, I know that you did brilliantly at IIT, then you went to Columbia Business School, you built and built several businesses, exited from several businesses. Tell me about your amazing journey.
Thank you, Ashutosh. You make me feel good about myself. That's great. Well, I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I joined out of my MBA, a large reputable consulting firm called A.T. Kearney. But as luck would have it, within a short time, EDS bought it, and my group, which was in financial services, decided they're going to split off. So at a fairly young stage, I got a taste of working for a startup. Now, we were 27 people who left the New York office of A.T. Kearney and started a firm called Mitchell Madison.
Wow.
From there, in 2000, I got to start my own company as CEO. And then now I'm on the third venture called ST Capital.
Amazing. So let's talk a little bit about ST Capital. What do you do at ST Capital?
ST Capital is a systematic investment firm. So we both have a brokerage firm where we help other people invest into markets, particularly India, where we have been one of the firms with the largest volume because we are purely algorithmic and systematic traders, as well as asset management, where we help large treasuries, family offices, institutions invest in PMS and AIF products. We also work across several emerging markets, about six or seven emerging markets around the world.
Wonderful. So today, we're going to focus on your new product called Gulluck. And for a lot of our viewers and listeners, Gulluck is an Urdu word, which means, you know, and a lot of people in India will recognize this, that small little earthenware thing, which we used to save money in as children. For people not in India, it's also a piggy bank, which we all used to collect money in. We've been getting a lot of requests from our viewers and listeners from around the world to talk investments, to talk about personal investments. And I believe, Sandeep, you're probably one of the most qualified individuals to educate people on how to make investments. So let me start by asking you, what do you do at Gulluck?
So Gulluck is a about 1 year old product that we have created as ST Capital. ST Capital is a hedge fund and typically caters to high net worth individuals. Our minimum ticket size for investment is 1 crore or up. But we wanted to create something that every investor, retail investor, could use. So if an investor does not want to spend a lot of time trying to do their own research and decide what to invest in and not make it into their full-time job, we want to create, using technology and analytics, an investment product with which they can earn above average returns with way below average effort and time that goes into this activity.
Very interesting. And one of the first questions that a lot of young people ask is, how should I start investing and when should I start?
Well, you should start investing as soon as you start earning and you start saving. And where you shall start investing depends a little bit about your own situation and risk tolerance. But particularly for younger people, the assumption is they have fewer responsibilities. They have the ability to save more. So they need to start learning how to make their money grow. Because we all need savings to last us beyond the time when we stop working, for our retirement, for our life's goals. And the sooner you start, the better off you are, because compounding which is the power of money growing and money being made from the money you have saved, is one of the biggest forces in investments. So sooner you start, the better off you are.
Wonderful. And the other question, Sandeep, that's often asked is that there are so many different avenues for investment. Someone tells me, go and put in the stock market. Someone says, go through the systematic investment plan. Someone says, go and buy mutual funds. Tell us, what are the various areas we can start investing in?
Look, the simplest investment plan is a mixture of two things. One is your low risk or no risk investment. And the simplest way to do that is a fixed deposit for a money market fund.
Correct.
Money market fund, you can cash anytime. Fixed deposit has a certain duration to it, maybe 6 months, 1 year, or what have you. That is one way. There is very little risk. You know amount of return you're going to get. However, growth over long term really only comes from holding a diversified basket of stocks. So that's what you want to hold. Whether you do it through mutual funds or through holding individual stocks, we will talk a little bit more. But the first step really is a mixture of these two things based on your own ability and aptitude for taking risk. So if you understand what is your situation, a person who is 70 years old, has all their life savings, don't want to take a lot of risk, should have a low risk portfolio, mostly in fixed deposit, maybe 20% in stocks. A young person, a 25-year-old who's got their first job, no responsibility, no family, should probably be taking more risk and be investing for the longer term, because they have 30, 40 years before they're going to use that money, in a different asset allocation. So start with just two things, fixed income and a diversified stock portfolio.
And tell me, given all the different options, how does Gulak help me to invest better?
So in Gulak, what we have done is try to reduce the confusion. You know, there are over 1,000 books written on personal investments. If you turn on the TV or search on internet, you're going to find hundreds, if not thousands, of fintech influencers who are telling you how you can invest, how you can do better. If you go to any website of a mutual fund company, you may find dozens, if not hundreds, of products that they have. How does one decide what to do? And I've seen this firsthand when I talked to my mother, who now invests her own money after my father has passed away. You know, this is a very confusing world. So Gulak has simplified investment into really one type of product, of which there are six variants, which are called gears. And gears is an analogy of how we drive a car. So depending on whether the road condition is good or slippery, and your own risk tolerance of whether you like going fast and are comfortable with it or not, you put your car in a low gear or a high gear. Same way, Gulak helps you invest based on your situation in one of the six gears. That's it. You don't need to decide whether I want to invest in a consumer products company, or I want to buy a mutual fund, or I invest in an IPO. You don't have to follow any of that. If you follow a simple asset allocation, which we help make available in Gulak, then everything else is automatically taken care of behind the scenes with the algorithms that we have built, which we, by the way, use for all our large investors. But now we have created it and made this portfolio available as a basket of stocks and ETFs, which they can hold easily and rebalance automatically every month.
What is ETS or ETF?
ETF is another type of mutual fund. So it's a basket of stocks that people can hold. And, you know, you had mentioned about mutual funds. I think this is an important area to understand. It is true that really the only good way to grow your money over long terms of period is holding a basket of stocks. If you hold one stock, the risk is too much. That company could fail, could have trouble. But if you hold a diversified set of stocks, then you have a much better chance that in aggregate, all those companies will do well and you will make good amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mutual funds decide a little bit of putting some companies more in their portfolio than others, versus an index fund, which is usually available in ETF, also in mutual funds, but an index fund holds all companies according to a very standard formula.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to invest in the market, the simplest possible way is to find a low-cost index fund and simply hold that, like a Nifty 50 or a BSE 500. These are the biggest companies in the country. Mm-hmm. You hold them in a certain ratio and you'd be fine because the market keeps going. Now, over long periods of time, always goes up because businesses grow, mm-hmm. and so would your investment.
Mm-hmm. And it's also said that in the long run, equities are probably the best investments.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you look at time periods of, let's say, over 100 years, mm-hmm. Fixed income typically will track more or less at inflation or maybe a little bit ahead of inflation. So your money will grow very safely, but slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the businesses tend to grow much faster. The long-term average of equity returns may be over 12%. In India, for recent past, where the economy has been growing post-liberalization for the last 30 to 40 years, the average has been above 15, 16%. So your money would compound much faster in a basket of equity stocks than in fixed income products.
Mm, very interesting. And for a lot of people, I think the first question that is also often asked is, how do I set a target for my savings? And I know this will vary as we get older.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two aspects to it. One is how much money you need to save. And for that, you need to do some kind of an estimate of what are your goals. Mm-hmm. And there are three big goals everybody needs to think about. One is retirement. At some point, you would not be getting a salary or earning from business because you'd want to retire. And you still need to have money to live comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
How much money is needed is the first big goal.
Yeah.
Then there are other big goals. Typically, people want to buy a home. They want to educate their children. These are expensive things. Maybe in Indian context, even getting your children married can be a significant goal.
Mm-hmm.
So you list all your goals and then you try to estimate how much money you need for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Put that number together. That gives you an estimate of how much money you need to save. And then you can kind of work from there on how much you should be saving every month. That is how much you need. Then there is a completely different question of what can you afford?
Mm.
And that's a much simpler question to answer because almost everyone can save 10%.
Mm.
The average of all people in India is at 28%.
Okay.
And younger people who don't have a lot of responsibilities of families, children, can maybe save as much as 40 to 50%.
Correct.
So the number of what you can save is somewhere between 25% is a good number. And if you can take it above that, that's great because then your task will be easier longer term.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're less than 10%, that's a problem because you are definitely not going to be able to meet your goals mm-hmm. with that low level of saving.
Fantastic. And what are some of the pitfalls to watch out for? Because, you know, I'm going to be putting my hard-earned money. I don't want mm-hmm. to lose it.
Mm-hmm. So I think the first biggest mistake I see, and recently SEBI came out with a report where they said 90% of the individual investors who invest in, and they were looking at futures and options trading,
mm-hmm.
they said they lost money, 90%.
Wow.
So 9 out of every 10 people who think
mm-hmm.
that they can go ahead and, you know, play, quote unquote, the market,
mm-hmm.
really it is equivalent of gambling. You can go to a casino, enjoy, have a good time because, you know, people like to gamble, mm-hmm. whether it's deal patti or casino, but that's not the way to build your savings portfolio.
Correct.
So the first biggest lesson or learning is individual stock picking is very hard.
Mm-hmm.
My firm has 135 people. Most of them are from, you know, prestigious educational institutions like IIT and IIMs, We use over 1,000 CPUs, gigabytes of data, tons of effort goes into figuring out how to invest. An individual investor who's trying to spend maybe an hour over the weekend, 2 hours, there is no realistic way in which you can really digest all the information and create a good investment process. So it's better not to get into single stock picking. Mm-hmm. Hold a basket, because Nifty will do something. A good, well-researched portfolio manager will do something for you because they're doing it professionally. We don't try to do surgery ourselves. We don't try to do our car repairs ourselves. But somehow everybody feels they can do their investment themselves. I think if they stick to allocation to large buckets, how much money I should have in fixed deposit, how much should I have in the market? Great. Beyond that, single stock picking, I think, is a dangerous sport. The second is understanding your risk level, which depends on your aptitude. You know, some people can take risks, some can't. And your life stage. People who are towards the end of their savings period and now they're going to just consume should take less risk. People who are younger can take more risk. So second learning is allocate your risk properly. And third is stick with the plan. Almost any plan, if you say, I'm going to put this much money in SIP, in mutual fund, this much money in FD every month, any plan would do better than trying to second guess the market all the time. Now I'm going to take money out, I'm going to put it in, doesn't work. There is a ton of data and research that has shown that people invariably mistime the market. Sometimes they think the, you know, the risk is too much, market starts going up dramatically. Or when everybody is feeling really bullish about the market and say everybody is going to be going up, suddenly it drops 20-30%. So the timing of the market is the third mistake that people make. Correct. And it's better to do it systematically month after month, invest and forget.
So another myth or belief a lot of individual investors have is if they are winning, they should double the bet. If or they should when should they cash out, and if they're losing, should they double the bet and therefore reduce the average?
There is some benefit in what is called rebalancing. So let's say that you have invested some part of your money in fixed deposit and some part in the market. Now if you're losing, what would happen is your fixed part of the portfolio will become bigger and your market part of the portfolio will become smaller. So you should move some money by rebalancing it. Let's say you want to hold 60% of your money in stock market, 40% of your money in fixed deposit. If you rebalance every year, this will happen automatically. But beyond that, if you're trying to have an opinion of the market is going to go up, therefore I'm going to put more money, or the market is looking very risky, I'm going to put less money, that very little evidence that people can do it successfully. Even professionals can't really do it successfully. So individual investors who are doing it as a hobby, near zero chance. You can get lucky once in a while, but it's not going to help you.
Very interesting. Another question that is often asked is, do I need a minimum amount of money to start my investment portfolio?
Yes, you do, but not very large. In our products, we try to keep it as low as 25,000 rupees in good luck.
Okay.
Now, there are regulatory requirements. If you want to invest in a PMS or an AIF, which is the Indian hedge fund products, then you need at least 50 lakhs or 1 crore. But if you just want to hold a good diversified set of equity exposure, you can start with as little as few thousand. And if you want to do a SIP into some of these funds, it can be even lower.
There is also a lot of advertising that the Mutual Fund of Association, Mutual Fund Association of India is doing, where they keep saying mutual fund sahi hai. Tell me a little bit more about mutual funds, and is that the right way to go? Because I think in Gulak also you're doing a lot of mutual funds.
We do provide funds as part of a regular portfolio in Gulak. So the answer to that question is yes and no. Mutual funds sahi hai compared to investing in individual stocks that you are trying to pick yourself.
Mm.
Most of that picking happens based on what I'm familiar with. I may have heard of Reliance, or I may have heard of Adani, or I may have heard of Asian Paints, and I say, oh, this is a stock I want to hold. But if you hold a diversified set of portfolio through mutual fund, you are likely to do better. However, not all mutual funds are created equal. And the first place to start is investing in a low-cost index fund. There are several companies like Nippon and Navi and others who provide these low-cost index funds. And that's a better solution for most investors because you're going to get the upside and you'll pay very little fees. People think mutual funds are free, you just invest. Mm-hmm. That's not true. You are paying the fees, which is going to get deducted from your money.
Okay.
And you can look at it by looking at the expense ratio, and choosing a fund with lower expense ratio is better. So that's the correct part. Mutual fund sahi hai compared to individual stocks. But there are other ways. You know, there are thousands of mutual funds which are out there, and selecting the right one is not easy. So if you want to put in all that effort, you can do that. But if you can work with a trusted advisor, somebody, you know, like Gulak does that, and who can explain it in the way I said, just six choices depending on your risk level. Then it takes away that complexity of what is the right fund, when do I find it, how do I invest in it, when do I rebalance. All of that can be automated using technology. So that's what we focus on how do we create your whole investment plan, not just I want to invest in this HDFC fund and that Motilal Oswal fund with this bank for FD. You don't have to worry about those components. We can get that done.
Very interesting. One more question is on the entire subject of insurance. You know, I remember when I was a child, my father took a life insurance policy and then I added. Now, I'm not sure how much insurance is being done for life insurance. But then there is the other element of medical insurance, which also can and is becoming a very large chunk of our expenses. What are your thoughts on insurance?
Insurance is a very important part of any sensible financial plan. There are some expenses we need which will come no matter what, you know, retirement, buying a home, educating our children. There is no unknown in it or very little unknown. We all need it, so you can just save for it. However, there are certain things in which the magnitude and the timing of what we need is unknown. Medical insurance is one of those things. God forbid, when we get sick and how much money we need at that time to get our treatment, something we don't know.
Correct.
So pooling the risk through insurance is a great idea. There are two other areas where that works well. The second is the earning member of the house, the person whose salary supports a lot of people. They need to have life insurance. God forbid something happens to them, they are not able to earn either through disability or through their life somehow getting cut short. Then they need life insurance, which can be a protection for the earnings that that person would have contributed to the family and people who are depending on them. And the third one is an area which I think many people don't understand well. And that is the risk of length of your retirement. Now, let's say the average expectancy for Indians who are 60 years old is they live up to 80 years. So they have 20 years of retirement. Some people will probably live only till 70 and others will go on to live till 95. So what do you save for? Do I save for 10 years or do I save for 35 years?
Correct.
That's where a product like annuity, which is an insurance and investment product, can become important. So three risks which we cannot control: health, life of an earning member, and length of our retirement. That's where insurance can play a very important role in your financial plan.
Wow, what a great response. Sandeep, two more questions now. How does a person connect or invest in Gulak?
Well, that's an easy one. There is a website, gullakgulak.com. We also provide our products through aggregators and marketplaces like Smallcase and WealthDesk. And some brokers carry our product as well, like Aditya Birla and others, and Kotak Cherry. So we are available through multiple channels, mostly online, and happy to connect with people. I'm fairly available on Twitter or LinkedIn or many other social media channel. So happy to connect with people who have questions once they listen and think about this space.
Wonderful. So I am asking all our viewers and listeners to go and check out gullak.com. And Sandeep has been very kind, despite being extremely busy, that if you connect with him on LinkedIn or Twitter, he will try and respond to some of your questions. And Sandeep, my last question to you, and you know, you've been a very, very savvy investor. You've done a lot of amazing things in the world of technology and software and so on. What would you say are three lessons from your perspective in the world of finance that you would like our viewers and listeners to take away?
Yeah, I think we did talk a bit about some of this throughout, but to summarize, I would say compounding is a big force. Einstein called it the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah.
So start early.
Yeah.
Most people consume a lot more when they're early because they say, young, we need to enjoy our life or take that foreign trip or whatever. Start early. Compounding is a big one. Second, diversification. Don't overestimate your own capability to predict what's going to happen. So if you take too much risk, too much bet on one thing, one idea, one company, that's not good.
Right.
Diversify your risk. And the last lesson is, as I said, stick with your plan. You could listen to this talk. You can. There are lots of good pieces of advice out there. But once you create a plan, stick with it. I think compounding, doing a diversified bucket, and doing it for a long period is the safest way to build a nice savings nest egg. But chasing every tip that you get on your WhatsApp group in the hope that you are going to find that golden egg is a sure recipe for disaster.
Well said. And on that note, Sandeep, and your three amazing lessons, compounding is a big force, start early. Diversification is critical. Don't take too much risk, but also don't just assume that you know everything. Third one is stick with your plan. Thank you so much for talking to me. This conversation to me has been an amazing investment 101, amazing set of lessons that you've given us. Thank you for talking to us about ST, about your journey, about Gullak. I think Gullak seems to be doing some incredible amount of work to be able to support a lot of early starters and, of course, the big investors as well. Thank you again and good luck to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.